if you're back, we want people to know you're back. You know, if you're not on the you're not on the screen, then nobody knows. That's right. We have no.
We're just talking amongst ourselves.
We have no video proof if you've actually been there. Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable for this 26th of October. It's a Monday, and you know what? It kind of feels like a Monday,
sure, doesn't it?
Yeah. And well, good morning to everyone, and I hope you had a lovely weekend. Certainly a beautiful one, and we'll talk about many many topics this morning. Let me introduce the panel. To you, this first of all, Alan Chartok is here. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Joe. Back from my undisclosed location.
Yes, your undisclosed location, and very nice. Someday the files will be released, and
yes,
we'll know where and why. Political consultant Libby Post, speaking of undisclosed locations, has been gone for well pre-fund drive, so she's back, and
I'm
it's
back.
Very nice to have you back.
Oh, it's lovely to be here.
We missed you.
I missed you too.
Well, thank you for remembering and for coming back to us, and let us not forget Ray Graff filling in for Rosemary Armeo, who is somewhere.
Okay.
I think she told me. I don't remember.
Location not to be disclosed.
Well, when she disappears, you know. You,
you
know.
You never know.
I think this was more Romanian. Domestic, yeah. But I don't don't know. I really don't know. But I think she'll be back tomorrow, and if not, Ray will be here.
Come on back soon, Rosemary.
All right. Roundtable at WAMC.org is our telephone. No, is our email address if you would like to join us. And I was just telling Libby about this, but I have this in my left shoulder blade. I have a pain in my back, like a muscle pain in my back.
Yeah.
And every time I breathe, it feels like a knife
just
going into.
In your left.
So all of a sudden when I start to talk and I feel like
how's
my breath
feel?
Is going. Yeah.
Not well, kidding. You know, not joking,
you know,
Libby.
As you know, I play a doctor on the radio.
I know you do.
Every Monday.
Welcome to the Hypochondriacs Corner. Here we go. Ding, ding, ding,
so
ding,
so
ding,
let
ding.
Me diagnose it for you right now. It could be anything.
Your arm doesn't feel bad, does it?
Is there pain running down your arm?
There is not pain running
okay.
down your arm.
Okay, that's good.
It'd be really good for ratings.
And
an on-air heart attack would be
breath.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Right. No shortness of breath.
No, only when I feel like that.
You okay, know, only
the pain
when
is,
that
yeah,
pain. Okay, fine.
You know,
right.
That thing.
Let me put it this way. I've had it.
Yes.
Really?
You've had everything, except for some of the things I've had, because we don't have the same parts. But
yeah.
Even that.
Yeah, exactly.
You might have. Yeah. I heard you had a hysterectomy.
Dome.
No, but I have had endometriosis.
Ah, okay.
Oh, look at the time.
And away we go. Let me... get to a reminder, WAMC, roundtable WAMC.
How could they forget?
Okay. Let's go. We have a lot of politics to talk about this morning, a lot of interesting stories that happened over the weekend. The Sunday talk shows, the Sunday news programs are always great for this, and a lot of back and forth. So let us begin with Bernie Sanders going negative. Bernie Sanders has said all along he was not going to run a negative campaign, and now took a shot at Hillary. Hillary took a shot back.
Was it really a real shot? When you watch Trump, for example, and his assigned...
Well, we'll get to that. That's a shot.
But what I'm saying, when that's right. When you watch him and his assigned enemies, right, it's not nearly as obscure as the New York papers trying to make something out of this Bernie going negative thing. I looked at it. Yeah.
No, you know, I think that he doesn't really have much of a choice now. He needs to differentiate himself from Hillary, and she is definitely gaining. She had a great week last week. We can all agree on that. And I think he's feeling some pressure here to make a difference and really try to stand out. And the only way he can do that now is by going negative.
Well, Libby, first of all, I think what my point is, I think the concept of going negative is a little bit much. But I also think that we're having elections here and we're having debates here. And there are differences in policy. I mean, for example, did Hillary vote to send troops into Iraq? Yeah. And Bernie did not. And it's something when one establishes a record, and makes a point that this is what has been happening. This is what I've been doing, and this is what others have been doing, because he sure didn't mention Hillary by name.
He did not.
You know, that's a different story. Over to you, Libs.
Yeah, you know, yes, she voted the wrong way on the Iraq war, you know? I mean, everybody got lied to. A lot of people voted the wrong way on the Iraq war. I'm not making excuses, but that's just the reality of the situation. She now recognizes that it was the wrong thing to do. You know, it's LBJ finally realized Vietnam wasn't a good idea either. So I think that, you know, there's going to be, as she's rising in the polls, pulling away from him, if he wants to remain relevant and in the news, he's going to have to spice it up a little bit. His, you know, everybody knows what his politics are. My real problem and my concern is his lack of forthrightness or his lack of standing up around gun control, because he won't, because yeah. of what his state is. And I find that to be a little bit on the problematic side.
In other words, un-Bernie-like. If Bernie is going to be the truth teller,
how do you
run from a major subject like that?
That's right. And yes, I understand that people in his state like their guns. And so, you know, people in his state also like people who stand up for what they believe in. That's part of the ethos of Vermont. And so he is a well-known senator there now. I mean, he's been in elected office for a very long time, and I think if he came out for gun control, I don't think they'd throw him out of office.
When it comes to the, because you basically now have, well, you have three Democratic candidates.
Yeah, you really have two.
But you have two who are, and as you said, had a good week. So it's sort of now or never for him, right, to look at those differences and make it fairly clear to people. Although I would argue that probably people saw the differences all along.
Right.
Well, you know, Libby makes a point. He's acting more and more like a politician who has to win an election. And, you know, I'm a big Bernie fan. I've interviewed him probably 100 times in my lifetime on the Congressional Corner and everything else. I think he's great. But I'm sure that he's being given some lessons in behavior. So, for example, I noticed, and I watched him on, I guess, the Today Show this weekend. I noticed he's smiling. Bernie's not a smiler.
Maybe he's happy.
Maybe he's got a good media advisor.
Well, yeah. I think that's right.
Yeah.
I think somewhere along the line, somebody has to say to him, hey, you know, you've got to get rid of this image as the sort of, you know, very doctrinaire fellow. And so, you know, he's doing what he has to do. Would any of us do it differently? Probably not.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk about more. We'll get to the Trump, Donald Trump, Ben Carson stuff. There's a lot there as well. We'll talk about that. We'll get some letters, and we will continue after this short break.
Support comes from East Heaven Hot Tubs and Paradise Spa, Northampton, Massachusetts, offering private hot tub room rentals with indoor or outdoor rooftop tubs. Massage for couples and individuals, eastheaven.com. Noble Home, Shelburne Falls, Massachusetts, custom-designed panelized house kits featuring eco-friendly passive and solar design elements. Noble-home.net. And from the Museum at Bethel Woods, presenting Threads, connecting 60s and modern rockware from the vintage collection of Andy Hilfiger, through December 31st, bethelwoodcenter.org/museum.
Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Very nice to have you with us. So let us move on to some other political stuff in the news. And we go to the man who is leading in the Republican polls in Iowa and in most other Republican polls. Presidential candidate Ben Carson said Sunday that he believed that abortion should be outlawed even in cases of rape, and incest, comparing the procedure with slavery. Quote, I would not be in favor of killing a baby because the baby came about in that way, Mr. Carson said on NBC's Meet the Press, citing the many stories of people who have led very useful lives who were the result of rape or incest. Mr. Carson, who has not been shy about using slavery and Nazi metaphors, held up what he said was a historic parallel with abortion.
I think this is very problematic for Carson, because I do think that there is such a thing as a mainstream in America among people. People in America are fair, I think, which is why all of a sudden, when no one expected it, we saw the gay thing flower, and people said, no, no, if gay people love each other, they should be allowed to be married. And we saw young people coming in and the rest of it. I think in order to win, Carson feels that he has to be with the outdo the other doctrinaire right-wing folks, and that by taking this extreme position, no rape, no incest, nothing, and that those kids will grow up and they'll be fine. He, in fact, alienates the sense of fairness that the American people feel. They don't want, because look, we all know and have seen people who have suffered with this. It could be our kids. It could be somebody who's Jewish. It could be somebody who's Catholic. It could be somebody who's Protestant. It is not unknown in this country to see this. And I think Carson puts himself at risk. I can almost guarantee that should he win the Republican nomination, and by the way, he will not, because there'll be a brokered convention, and neither he nor Trump are going to win it.
Who's going to win?
I don't know that yet, but it's beginning to look more and more like Rubio.
I'm thinking Mitt Romney's going to come in on his horse.
Well, in any case, there's going to be a brokered convention.
Yeah, we need another candidate.
You're right.
There's going to be a brokered convention. And the Republican polls aren't going to risk that. But should Carson win, I guarantee you that once the elections began for real, between two candidates, the Democrats and the Republicans, he'd run back to the middle, or if not run, mitigate his stance.
I really don't think he understands what he's saying, partially. I think he's being told what to say. I saw some woman from Middle America, from the Bible Belt, white woman. My son and I pray for Ben Carson every night. We just love him. I think what's going on here is the radical Christian right and the Tea Party people who hate Obama for all the wrong reasons are embracing Ben Carson to say, look, I'm really not a racist. I like this black man. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so he is really pandering. But I don't know if he understands what he's saying.
Well, he's a neurosurgeon. He understands.
Fine. Well, yes and no. I think that, you know, he can be a great neurosurgeon, and I understand he's done great operations, you know, but to look, rape is the ultimate inability for a woman to control her own body. You are being, you know, we see it every single day. We see domestic violence every day. The result of that rape, to say to a woman you can't end that pregnancy is saying to a woman, we really don't care about you. We only care about the sperm and the egg and what's going to come after that. And for him to say this whole notion of doesn't matter if it's rape or incest even, and that brings up a whole nother issue. You know, I think that, yes, he understands it, but I think on another level, he's in la-la land, and he thinks that this is, of course, because this is what everybody thinks.
I do not think you're right.
Okay.
All due respect, I think what happens here is he wants to win. I think these guys get in it. You want to win. And you know that the way you win in the Republican primary with the very people you're talking about who come out and vote in a very small number, by the way,
right.
You win if you give them a message
you
that they like.
You pander to them, right. But
I don't think he's pandering.
Happen?
I think he believes it. And so I think
I do too.
And so that gives the voters an excellent opportunity to say, well, I agree or I disagree. It's just like Bernie Sanders. He's out there. You know exactly what he believes. So what is refreshing about all this is you don't have to figure out, okay, this person's a weather vane and he's going whichever way the wind doth blow. You understand mm-hmm. where both Ben Carson and Bernie Sanders are at any given time, and then you make your decision. It makes it rather easy for a voter.
I just wonder how he would be able to go back to the middle after making this statement, how the press would let him get away.
I don't think he would.
With going back,
I think he believes what
this.
He says.
Okay, so Ray doesn't believe it. I do. I think my sense of it is people get into presidential elections, into politics, and they want to win. These are contests, and they want to win, and they do what they have to do. To go back to so many people who have said ridiculous things in order to win primaries mm-hmm. and then run towards the center. There are just so many of them
yes.
That this is de rigueur. This is the way it's done.
I know, and if Bernie Sanders got the endorsement, he'd have to move to the middle too.
On what?
But that's the thing.
See, I think Bernie Sanders' message has to be popularized. I mean, I said this the other day, and I got a mean-spirited letter from somebody who said, "You said he was a Bolshevik." I did not. A bomb-throwing Bolshevik. I did not. On the contrary, I have announced where my vote is going, just so everybody will know. But the fact of the matter is that Bernie Sanders believes there's mass inequality in the United States. He believes that the banks are corrupted. He wants to go back to Glass-Steagall. And now he's smiling more. He's doing what he has to do. But his message isn't going to change. That message will not change.
So why would Ben Carson's message change if he is just as true to himself as Bernie is?
Well, it's a very good question, Ray, and it's a fair question, but I think it will, because I think he is a novice in politics. And I think, as Libby just indicates, he's being told what to do and what to say. I don't believe that of Bernie, not for a single second. Nobody's going to tell Bernie Sanders what to say. But that's a very fair question, Ray. I admit it.
Meanwhile, Donald Trump is also trying to win, and the way he feels as he falls behind that of Ben Carson in polls in Iowa, decides to take on religion and says, "Look, I'm a Presbyterian," and then, quote, "I mean, Seventh-day Adventist, I don't know about. I just don't know about that."
We should make it
clear.
No,
he didn't put in that. Because he never speaks in a complete sentence.
Yeah, and he said Mr. Carson is a practicing Seventh-day Adventist.
Yeah, right, exactly.
So, of course, as the article points out, provocation is Mr. Trump's stock and trade, and he's been biting in his criticism of his Republican rivals, including that of Dr. Ben Carson, who he has said is very low energy.
It's hardly a biting shot. I mean, I don't know about it. Well, he doesn't know about a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, there was a love fest between the two of them at the debate, so.
I'm going to upset you all mm-hmm. and tell you that when I was on the Great Bike the other morning, I think yesterday morning, I was watching Trump on the, and I really haven't watched him enough. And he's a very compelling talker. He's a very compelling talker. And you know, one of the reasons that the Republicans are so angry at him is that, you know, he's for healthcare for all, universal healthcare concept. His big issue with most liberals is the immigration issue, in which he just thinks, either you have an immigration policy that works and you have a rule of law or you don't. But some of the things he says and the way he says them are quite compelling.
If he actually says anything that you can really track on, number one. But
we're going to pause.
Okay, fine.
Okay. We have 8 seconds, and I'm going to use that by saying WAMC, roundtable, WAMC.org to get in your letters, and we will continue our conversation after the short break. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable. Welcome to our panel discussion. Excuse me. Sounded very Wilbur-ish there, didn't I? Yeah, that's it. Apologize. We have a lot of letters, so let's get to those. And we're going to skip over the ones where people are trying to diagnose me.
There are 11 letters diagnosing you.
What has he got?
Everything from a heart attack to gallbladder, but
yeah.
Here's the thing. I think I just picked up a sofa wrong.
Yeah.
I believe that's all that happened.
Well, I think that's right.
Yeah. So,
it sounds like a muscular.
Yeah. So we'll just
lumbago
we'll go on
or
and
anything.
Yeah.
You'll be fine.
If things get worse, I promise I'll go to a doctor. Okay. There you go.
We've had several that said the following thing. said, for example, is it possible, although Carson may be being told where to stand on issues in order to secure primary voters, that his words are his own? Is it possible his extreme analogies are of his own making? And that's from Michael. Okay. And Marilyn says, Ben scares me. I heard him interviewed, and he is the self-made man, in quotes, who thinks no one else should be given any help because he did all of it by himself. Of course, in the same interview, he talked about how his mother turned off the television and made her sons read books and write reports for her. Okay. And whoa. And then there's Joan, who said, I so agree with Libby. Ben Carson is the right-wing evangelical Tea Party's I'm not a racist candidate they can get behind because he's not as intelligent or as presidential as the black man who is in the White House today. He's inferior to Obama, and that makes them more comfortable, and they know he won't get nominated anyway. And with Trump, if you make it profitable for him to give in to immigration, he will give in. And J.D. says, the nice thing about this morning's discussion is we are for once not talking about D.T. and H.C. Whoops, maybe too soon to say that. And I'm having a little trouble because my device that I usually have with me, Joe, is not here with us today. But okay.
The bigger device.
Okay, here we go. Curious that you refer to the Democratic candidates by their first names, but Republicans by their last names. What does this say about the perceptions of bias? All right. Joe, okay, we can't do that because it is a diagnosis.
Okay. By the way, I think a lot of that has to do with how the candidates self-identify. So if you see a sign that says Hillary, it says Hillary. Bernie is Bernie. Yeah. Trump is Trump, the last name of Trump. Yeah. Jeb.
Trump, they say the Donald. They say the Donald.
Yeah.
He's always been.
A lot of it has to do with how they self-identify themselves. So I don't know. I wouldn't read too much more into it than that.
Okay. And James says, Rubio is also opposed to all abortions, no exceptions for rape or incest. Carson, and from Grace, Carson thinks that a baby exists the day after conception. I'm curious, what time frame during the 9-month gestation process does the panel feel the fetus becomes a baby? Well, anybody want to check in on that?
Nope.
No, me neither. Okay. So.
Libby's raising her hand.
Did you want to say something?
Well, when you can get a Social Security number, in my book, but you know, women need to be able to control their bodies. It's just that simple. The majority of abortions happen early in a pregnancy. There are times when there's a medical need for a late term abortion. People make that into the boogeyman of the reproductive rights issue. But, you know, viability is at, like, 7 months. And because Alex, our son, was born at 7 months. And he's now a strapping young man.
But your point really is, Libby, that there are differences.
There's differences. And this is not a decision for politicians. This is a decision for a doctor and for a woman and her doctor. And that's it.
Okay. Alan is implying that Carson does not believe in the extreme positions he is taking. I don't see any reason to think that he has any positions other than what he's saying, and that he is not pandering, but is a true extremist in his belief. And this is a terrifying trend in our political arena. All right. And Barbara says, Alan, Rubio believes or claims to believe the same thing about as Carson about abortion. No abortion for any reason. He said it in August. And by the way, there's a growing number of people who do think that Rubio is going to be the candidate. Yeah. So anyway.
And can I just say one more thing?
Sure.
About the abortion issue.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, Roe v. Wade, it wasn't about women having abortions. It was about stopping women from dying from having back alley abortions. And I think that has really gotten lost in this whole debate. But the reason why we had to fight so hard for reproductive rights is because women were having abortions and they were dying because it was illegal and it was done in a back alley with a hanger.
Okay. Alan, love you guys. I applaud Bernie for not following the lemmings on gun control. We need more funding for psychiatric facilities to reduce mentally ill, induced murderous rampages in this country, but gun laws, which would not have stopped at any of the recent murders, no one goes through background checks and registration to purchase a gun that they later use to shoot up a school. It's mental illness, not guns, that kill people.
Uh-huh. Why is it that all the white guys who do the shooting have mental illness and all the black guys who with guns are just thugs? So,
and I think you should say that that statement you just made is somewhat sardonic, right?
No. Actually, people, there's been a lot of chatter about this, is that you've got the guy who did Newtown, you've got the guy who did the Washington shootings. They're all white. Oh, they're all mentally ill, that's why, and that they shouldn't have had a gun. But, you know, you see somebody on the street and it's a black-on-black crime, you know, well, it's because they had a gun. And it's not about mental illness, you know, and it's not about mental illness with the white guys either. It's about their desire to shoot and kill.
Stephen says, any candidate who promises to not go negative inevitably breaks that promise, as long as going negative doesn't involve falsehoods. Okay. Bernie pointing out the stark difference between himself and HRC is hardly going negative, especially when Hillary is, quote, evolving on every issue, read temporarily adopting Bernie's decades-old position to try to be less corporate tool and more populist newbie. Not gonna work. And that's from Ken. All right. And Joe says, Bonnie, if the stabbing is under the shoulder... Oh, no, we can't read that one. Okay. And Brendan says, I think Bernie's more aggressive campaign is long overdue. Hillary's been taking veiled shots at Bernie for a while now, and if he doesn't do something to combat her recent surge, she's going to leave him behind. Also, there's a big difference between swinging back and fighting dirty, and I'm optimistic that he'll keep it clean. And that's from Brendan. And then Michael said something else about your pain, another pain thing. Oh, okay. All right. And I don't know. Is that it? Is there more?
I think that's it.
Okay, good.
All right. So let's go to actually, let's take a break. We'll come back and we'll continue with a few other topics that we have. And we welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Alan Chartok, Ray Graff, Libby Post. I'm Joe Donahue. We'll be right back.
Support comes from Identity Eyewear, Albany, New York. Women owned and operated with a combined 70 years experience. Eye exams by appointment, 518-459-2638. Congregation Shara Tefil, Saratoga Springs, New York, offering Sisterhood and Men's Club, Active Jewish War Veterans Club, Adult Education, Musical, 92nd Street Y, and Special Programs, synagogue.org. Bread and Butter, newly opened restaurant in North Amherst's Mill District, offering breakfast and lunch daily from traditional staples to chef specialties such as duck confit hash and maple sriracha pork belly. Breadandbutteramherst.com. And from Mango Tree Imports, Saratoga Springs, New York, announcing their new location in the Saratoga Marketplace at 454 Broadway. Open 7 days a week, mangotreeimports.com.
Good morning and welcome back to the final segment of our roundtable panel for this morning. We have about 15 minutes and, oh, a lot of content to get to. So let's get into some more issues. We begin with President Obama and what he said over the weekend regarding limits on testing in schools. Faced with mounting and bipartisan opposition to increased and often high-stakes testing in the nation's public schools, the Obama administration declared on Saturday that the push had gone too far, acknowledging its own role in the proliferation of tests, and urged schools to step back and make exams less onerous and more purposeful. Specifically, the administration called for a cap on assessment so that no child would spend more than 2% of classroom instruction time taking tests. It called on Congress to reduce overtesting as it reauthorizes the federal legislation governing the nation's public elementary and secondary schools.
Well, I can tell you one thing. Professor of Education Roselle Chartok, emeritus, is cheering as she hears this, you know, on the radio. She's always thought that the testing thing was outrageously extended. However, we have to remember that when this thing was proposed, No Child Left Behind and the rest, it was regarded by Republicans and many Democrats alike as being a terrific thing. The president, your first, the first line you read, Joe, opposed by so many people, is exactly right. I mean, I think that this president took a look. Arne Duncan, the Secretary of Education, is on his way out, whether he was dispatched by himself or he was dispatched by the Obamaites, I don't know, but he is gone, and we are changing our mind on this thing. And the very people who pushed it the hardest are right there in the front line saying it's got to stop.
I'm fascinated by John King, who used to be the education commissioner
here.
And is now going to be the education commissioner in December once Arne leaves, is even saying it's time to scale back. And he was the standard bearer for the Common Core in New York State. And I think he saw how it did not do as well as everyone had hoped.
And I do believe, although I could be wrong about this, that Andrew Cuomo has spoken on this also and, you know, is a guy who's trying to make it clear that we had to do better and hold more people responsible in education. Libby, you got something on that?
No, you know, he's just everybody, I think, is starting to pedal back a little bit on Common Core because of the testing, because of how many students opted out last year of the tests. Parents are furious about the tests. And so, you know, ultimately the parents are the taxpayers and, you know, they have to, the school boards and the education community has to listen. And, you know, to judge teachers by how well kids do on their tests is not necessarily the best way.
Well, I couldn't agree more,
you know,
especially because if you're teaching in Scarsdale, it's different than if you're teaching,
lot,
you know,
sure.
somewhere else.
It's a lot different.
So let me ask you a question, Libby,
yes,
if I
dear.
May. Are you, were you a good test taker?
Yes.
Interesting, because you're a brilliant woman.
Oh, thanks.
I, on the other hand, was not a good test taker.
You know,
and Roselle always shoves that in my face and says, look at what you've achieved. I mean, it sounds self-serving, and I apologize for that. Look at what you've achieved, but you were not a good test taker.
Well, let me put you this way. I was good in tests when I got a spelling test or a history test or whatever.
Sure.
The SATs and those tests,
yes.
I didn't do so well in because of the math. Once I hit 1,100, yeah. the second time I stopped, and I was like, okay, that's respectable.
Yeah.
Because, and that was when it was 1,600 was the top. Because I did well in English, but I didn't do well in math. And so, you know, I mean, I got a 67 on my math 11 Regents in 12th grade. So I'm
66 in Spanish.
66.
Ray, what do you make of all this?
What I'm trying to wrap my head around behind all this is what is the appropriate level of federal control and or oversight of schools and how much should be, frankly, put back on the states and the communities?
Well, no, right. That's a big issue. And for years, the conservative Republicans have been trying to say, get rid of the Department of Education for exactly that reason.
But, I mean, there could be a middle ground, surely, right?
Well, there's always, you know, from A to Z, as they say in England, you know, you can compromise anywhere along the line. But, yes, the Department of Education obviously sets standards for the whole country. And when they set this particular standard, everybody piled on.
And you know, if you let the states set all the standards,
sure.
You know, south of the Mason-Dixon line,
yep.
you get a totally different viewpoint of what the Civil War was all about.
Yeah.
You know, Lynn was from Portsmouth, Virginia. It was a totally different curriculum about, they didn't talk about slavery. It was all economic, and it was the war between the states. You know, and now... And in the last 20 years, Texas, because they're such a big school book seller, was dictating what was going to be in the school books. Now, with more books being online, it's not they don't have as much control because it's not printing. It's, you know, online books. But somebody has to draw the line about a standard in terms of how to teach what happened in this country.
Well, forget about the Civil War for a minute, although you make a very good point. I think more important is what's the general feeling in Alabama versus New York, for example, about the value of education
right.
and how much you have to achieve.
Right. I agree.
When it comes to, there is an article or a paragraph in this article that I thought was interesting. Some who agree that testing has run rampant also urge the administration not to throw out the number two pencils with the bathwater.
Very nice.
Saying tests can be a powerful tool for schools to identify weaknesses and direct resources. They worry that the cap on time spent testing, which the administration said it would ask Congress to enshrine in legislation, would only tangle schools in more federal regulations and questions of what exactly counts as a test,
yeah.
Which I think is great. Because is that a test? Is that not a test? When you ask a kid, do you know what I assigned you? Is that a test or is that an assignment?
You know, I'm so old, but I do remember what Libby said earlier today about getting a 69 on a Regents.
67
on a Regents. When I went to high school in New York City, the Regents was everything.
Right.
They taught to the Regents. You carried around a little booklet with you all over the place that had all the old questions in it. And you studied the old questions, and if you were lucky, they were going to ask the same exact questions this time as they did last time. But so this is nothing new, this testing thing. This has been around for quite a while. You could get an A in the course in terms of the test that the teacher was giving
and fail
because you couldn't pass the Regents.
Right. Oh, I remember when the Regents were stolen. That was my geometry Regents and my chemistry Regents I didn't have to take, and I was a happy girl.
So I got called in by the principal.
Because you stole the Regents?
That's right.
Uh-huh.
What happened was I got called in. The guy says to me, we think you may have cheated on this exam. I got 100, by the way, in U.S. history with world background. And I said, why? And the guy says, well, you know, in a yeshiva in Brooklyn, the test was stolen. I said, yeah. He says, well, you're Jewish, aren't you?
Oh, my God.
In 5 minutes, in record time, my mother was there in the guy's face. I mean, it was just unbelievable.
That's outrageous.
But, yeah, that's the kind of thing that happens.
And it's not like, you know, we had email back then.
Right.
You'd have to go to the shtetl. You'd have to go to the shul and find the yeshiva bracha who stole the Regents. What an image.
All right. I'm going to change the subject.
Okay.
sort of. Research Division of the World Health Organization. Have you heard this?
Yeah.
Announced on Monday that bacon, sausage, and other processed meats cause cancer, and that red meat probably does too.
Well, which part of this we didn't know?
Well,
we certainly knew about the bacon, right?
Well, yeah. We didn't know that there was they always thought that there was a connection. I don't think they knew it definitively, but that there was always the word could, right? It could cause cancer, and now it does cause cancer.
Unless you're watching this on the TV, what do you call this, the streaming?
The streaming.
You wouldn't know that that Ray was shaking his head in total upsetness.
No, I'm waiting for the prices to drop. Quite the contrary.
Are Americans eating? Do we know whether Americans are eating more meat? I don't think they are.
It's expensive now, man.
It's expensive, yeah. That's part of it.
Well, the report by the influential group stakes out one of the most aggressive stances against meat yet taken by a major health organization, and it is expected to face stiff criticism in the United States. The WHO conclusions are based on the work of a 22-member panel of international experts that reviewed decades of research and the link between red meat, processed meats, and cancer. The panel reviewed animal experiments, studies of human diet and health, and cell mechanisms that could lead from red meat to cancer, but the panel's decision was not unanimous, and by raising lethal concerns about a food that anchors countless American meals, it will be controversial. The $95 billion U.S. beef industry has been preparing for months to mount a response, and some scientists, including some unaffiliated with the meat industry, have questioned whether the evidence is substantial enough to draw the kinds of strong conclusions that the WHO has done.
I remember when my mother told me not to smoke. You know, we didn't have definitive.
Right.
We didn't have definitive information about not smoking, but she said, listen, smoking is bad
for you. Yeah, you got to figure it out.
Smoking is bad for you. I think that's right. Now, did you say 95 million? Is that what you said?
I believe, yes. Yeah. $95 billion.
Billion.
The U.S. beef industry.
Right. Well, I do remember when the bank door used to ring at our apartment on 96th Street, and Gristiti's would be there, and there would be, you know, wonderful chopped meat. My brother and I would go in there, and we would just eat it before it was cooked. Yeah.
Yeah.
We now call that steak tartare or whatever.
Right. Yeah.
So that means what? I'm a dead man.
Well, you're still alive.
Yeah.
Yeah, but barely so.
Well,
yeah. Well, you know, a lot of people have been eating bacon, and what else was it? Bacon and red meat?
Bacon, sausage, red meat.
Red meat. Okay.
Anything that's good.
Yeah, right.
Well, it's, you know, it's
I'm sure this is right. I mean, sure, it's accurate. But, I mean, you know, if bacon takes 5 years off my life, then it's a good trade.
Wrong.
Well, whatever.
We need you way too much to be
Look,
so cavalier
I'm eating
that.
The bacon, man. And you know, the red meat and everything else.
I eat the red meat. I don't eat the bacon
Enough.
Or the sausage.
Enough jive. Let's move on.
All right, let's... we have... We have about 3 minutes, so when we get to the last of the letters, which have to do with this and the other topics that we talked about.
I just want to say one more thing about that, because it just came into my mind. I know a guy real well, a very good friend of mine, when he'd come over, we'd have bacon all the time. He'd buy it, and he'd make it. He doesn't eat bacon anymore, I think, because of health concerns. He does go outside to smoke.
Oh, that's good. That's really very nice
Don't you
of
see?
Him to go outside. To
well, you take your progress where you can get it.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. That's it.
Okay. Did you want to do letters?
Oh, anything you say.
Oh, no, okay. Good.
I'm trying to get all this. Okay. Pacetto says, back in the day, there wasn't as much testing. Some people do not test well, and then the teacher could teach other related things, and that's from Stephen. Don't you see? And then my daughter has been trying to pass the U.S. history regions for years. She passed the class, exactly what I was talking about, with a B+, but doesn't take tests well. It's wrong to penalize the kid in this way. Thank you, Gordon, for that. And then you guys should listen to the NPR report from Tony. The world's population is eating more meat. Sorry about that, Tony, but that's why I asked the question, because I didn't know.
Ask and you shall get an answer.
And there's Tony. Terrific. He's a wonderful guy, Tony. Alan, what's new about testing is the fact that it's been turned into a corporate profit machine. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
People are making money.
A lot of money.
From testing, right. The greatest failure, says Anthony, of Common Core in New York State is the governor who turned tests into his hammer to carry out his position that the failures in the schools in the state is due to bad teachers. And that is Anthony. And, you know, Anthony, you got a point there.
Yep.
Okay. And I don't know. I'm trying to work this thing. And says, Ted, as with most employees, how, if at all, should teachers' performance be reviewed and measurement? And measured, I guess, is the question. Anybody want to check in on that?
No.
I think, you know, there certainly is, I'll know it when I see it. A good principal in a school will know who... Her, see that, what I did with gender?
You're very
good. Who her good, why are you laughing at me, Ray? Who her good teachers are. There's no question about it. And you hear from mothers, you intuitively, you've been around for a while, you see it. That would be my answer to that.
All right, that comes in time for the end of the show. So Alan and Ray and Libby, thank you very much for being here. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Yosef.
Oh, hey. I'm glad to be here.
Oh, it's great to see you back. And we've all learned a few new words today.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, thank you.
Shtetl.
Okay. Shtetl. The yeshiva brucha.
All right. We're out of time.
It's easy for you to say.
We'll be back after this.